all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Monday, April 24th, 2023. Coming up this hour, let them hear from you. It's Motherhood Monday, and our friends from Motherhood for Good will join us to tell busy moms how important it is to stay on top of current events and keep your elected officials honest. This time around at 7:30, they'll talk to us about the urgency of telling politicians, both in Congress and the legislature, to stop blocking common sense gun safety measures that have overwhelming public support. So we'll talk to Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin about that. Terry Bell will have three things you should know to start the week. Kristen Lyerly has things that you need to know right now, and we'll talk to her about that in just a sec. Aaron Zommer's with us here, too. First to note, the Up North News newsletter came out a couple of hours back, comes out every weekday morning. And some of the stories that are in this morning's newsletter, we're going to talk about tomorrow morning on the radio with Christina Laurie, who puts the newsletter together. Preview of coming attractions. If you like Quick Trip, if you're a regular consumer, you're going to be interested in a couple of the stories there, including the person who has visited every Quick Trip in Wisconsin. I believe that makes her an influencer, whatever definition the kids are using these days.
That's a lot of Quick Trips.
Yes, it is. So, again, the uplift from Christina Laurie tomorrow morning at 6:30. Aaron and I, along with some other Civic Media Radio folks, went to the Brewers game. Kristen, we would have loved to have had you along. You were kind of busy working, but at least you knew you were invited.
Next time.
Please do, because we discovered, Aaron, how would you best describe these tickets that we give away on an occasional basis?
Fantastic, flawless, just surprising. When I picture free tickets, I usually picture like, yeah, technically you're in the stadium.
Yeah, you're in the euchre seats, you know, or you're crammed together with some folks, you know, in some bleachers. No. These are club level, just to the left of home plate, row two.
Wow.
I mean, just amazing tickets. So we don't have any right now, but I'm telling you, when you hear that we've got tickets, you got to go for those things. Kristen, we teased a bit last hour and never really got into the subject of booyah. And that's not the expression on ESPN, but rather the soup, essentially the stew that is made. And I was taken by a report at Fox 11 up in Green Bay about how there was a recent booyah at the Belgian Heritage Center in Door County, where more than 60 gallons of booyah was enjoyed, which is nothing more than, you know, broth, vegetables, chicken, and then other, you know, in the historic definition is just people in the farming community brought whatever they had left over and put that in a kettle and serve it up. So it's a little bit different each time. And you're a fan.
I'm a big fan. It's really good. I love how it tastes. But my favorite thing is that they often make it like in big drums or kettles. Mm-hmm. And people come from all over. They'll bring old ice cream pails and, you know, they're fundraisers for churches and for firehouses and for community events. So to me, it's not only great food, but it's a community building gesture. And I love that it is centered in Green Bay. It's so Green Bay that we actually used to have a baseball team called the Booyah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Until okay. Like 2 years ago, I think.
Was this a thing around Manitowoc, Aaron?
Well, since Manitowoc is close to Green Bay a little bit, and I know in Boy Scouts, I had booyah before. We did something in, what's it called? Some winter event where everybody brought, they had like chicken and a soup base and stuff, and everyone brought cans of soup and other stuff and contributed to this big old pot of soup. So it was in like a big drum. It was a lot of fun.
So it's kind of like the children's book Stone Soup, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody's making stone soup and but no rocks in this one. And from where I grew up in the West 7th neighborhood of St. Paul, you know, it seemed like all the churches around there at different points, you know, our social media back then was flyers that were stapled to phone poles, okay, or other utility poles. And you all the time saw, you know, booyah posters at this church or that church. And I just don't know that I remember going to one of them. I may have, but picky eater that I was, I probably turned my nose up at it or something, whereas I would love it now.
You turn your nose up at chicken soup when you were a kid. You're so picky.
Oh God. It might have those, it might have those icky vegetables in it, you know? Mm,
that's true. But you know, it's still, they still put out sandwich boards. That's how I always see where the booyah things are going to be. There's a sandwich board on this corner and you know, oh, it's time for the firefighters again.
Oh yeah. Oh, well, it's still that way around here. Some of the watering holes around here, you know, you'll get the lunch special on the sandwich board, and you might by driving past and see, you know, the woman behind the bar bringing the sandwich board in, and that's how you know they're out. Not that this time. It's like we've only got so much cod, and it's used up here. All right. So you are not just busy working in Minnesota, but continuing to advocate for various healthcare issues. What are you talking about today?
Well, today I'm doing a press conference on behalf of one of my colleagues here in Minnesota who has drafted a bill to push forward a prescription drug availability board, so accountability board. So this is an organization that will set the prices for prescription drugs. They will make prescription drugs affordable for the people of Minnesota. How cool is that?
It takes us back to where things were before basically corporations got to buy their politicians and set whatever prices they want, you know, and then call it inflation. And essentially we now have what in the day would be called, you know, war profiteering or gouging. And so to get back to something that has a degree of accountability for the consumer is a pretty good thing. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology is going to update the forecast for a chilly week all across Wisconsin. Then we'll talk about more headlines and motherhood for good later on. This is Up North News Radio for a Monday. Coming up on the program tomorrow, Chippewa Falls teacher and author John Kinville on a new book written about one of the first Wisconsin casualties of World War II and bringing his existence back to life and giving us, through his letters, a glimpse into what life was like leading up to the Second World War. In sports, the Brewers lost to the Red Sox. They had been up heading into the eighth inning, but when you give up 9 runs in an inning, that tells you it's not going to fare well for you. 12-5 was the loss there. Now the Detroit Tigers are in town for games Monday and Tuesday night and Wednesday afternoon. Garrett Mitchell is likely out for the year with a left shoulder injury. Bucks are down 2-1 to Miami Heat in the first round of the playoffs. They are in Miami. They will play tonight at 6:30. The game's on TNT. Now it's off to Weatherology. Meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki is here for what can only be described as a very chilly week for this, third week of April in 2023. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning to you. Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of a chilly start to the work week here, as you mentioned, where you saw that cold front move through the area. So overall, a cooler start to the work week for everyone today, well below average as well, as most of the state should be around the upper 50s to low 60s. And instead, it looks like mid to upper 40s for most, a few isolated areas getting into the low 50s, like around Richland Center. Starting off with some sunshine in the south this morning, but then increasing cloud cover. Then a chance for some rain and snow mixing tonight around Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids, and then around Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids, looking at a rain snow mix in the early afternoon, then becoming all rain today, followed by a rain snow mix in the evening hours as well, with about the same expected around Amory and Baldwin today and tonight, coming in today as well. For tomorrow, it looks like a rain snow mix potential before becoming all rain from around Oshkosh down to Madison, Waukesha, and Milwaukee, with pretty much the same temperatures lingering in the mid to upper 40s. Richland Center over to Wausau, looking at mid to upper 40s, but dry with some cloud cover tomorrow. Then farther to the west again, the same with similar temperatures, however looking at mostly sunny skies for the day. A little bit warmer, but still below average for everyone on Wednesday with sunny skies. Pretty decent day across the board as a warm front begins to push through the area. And then it does look like potentially some chances for rain for the second half of the work week, and we'll get into that as we get through the work week here in the next few days.
All right, Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology. Meteorologist joins us every weekday morning at this time to let us know what things look like around Wisconsin. Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin of Motherhood for Good will be joining us coming up at 7:30. Terry Bell with 3 things you should know to start the week at 7:50. Kristen, for folks who missed it last hour, the U.S. Supreme Court made a ruling on mifepristone. tell us what it means nationwide briefly, and then in Wisconsin as well. Nationwide, we're not going to see that ban in certain states that one Trump-appointed judge had wanted to see, right?
Right. It is still on the market. Mifepristone is a safe, effective, FDA-approved medication with over two decades of experience. Over 5 million people have used this medication, and it will remain available to people for abortion care. But here in Wisconsin, for miscarriage management, and that is really important.
All right. The Wisconsin legislature continues to meet and talk about, well, to be blunt, ways they can make it harder for people to get health care. And I'm going to be talking later today with State Assembly Rep Robin Vining from Wauwatosa, and then we'll play that back later here on the show. But she had posted something to social media a couple of weeks back about how the Assembly Health Committee really hasn't done anything substantive all session. And then Republicans had said, hold the date for a committee meeting, but they wouldn't say what bill it was. And then it turns out to be a bill that says if you're on Badger Care, you know, the Medicaid expansion, we're going to make it tougher for you to stay on there and make you a couple of times a year have to apparently confess that you're still poor or something like that, you know?
It's unbelievable. Well, we are still one of those, 10 states now that haven't expanded Medicaid. So people who need and deserve health care are out there not getting it. Now we're trying to take it away even more?
Yes. That's exactly.
This affects my patients. 50%, more than 50% of pregnant people are on Medicaid. People need this coverage. It's just unbelievable to me that our leaders can be so unresponsive, so defiant, and like so blatantly defiant to their constituents. I just don't get it, Pat.
Well, because if you get enough of those constituents who need health care, but if you get them to focus on some hot button social issues instead, you know, then that's how they manage to stay in power, and they do well by the profitable health insurance companies and try to push people into that marketplace where, as we just talked about in the last segment, you know, prices it when they're unregulated, you know, is that really capitalism at that point when, you know, you can be taken for a ride when there aren't, you know, safeguards, when the playing field isn't leveled out. And so to treat Medicaid as some kind of, you know, welfare is how you get there for some of these politicians.
Yeah.
But speaking of the social issues and the hot button things, I'm going to mention a story out of Sun Prairie, and I'm going to give it with this disclaimer, as I wish everybody in news and media did. We don't know everything, but because a certain right-wing group is squawking off about it, we're going to provide some background and then make note that before anybody, you know, rushes to judgment, you have to let investigations play out. So in Wisconsin, in Sun Prairie, a right-wing law firm that has already admitted withholding information that led to a conservative media feeding frenzy in Kiel last year that included multiple bomb threats is now trying to raise public outrage over transgender issues in the Sun Prairie School District. And as in Kiel, because an investigation was going on, the school district cannot confirm or deny what's being peddled by Will, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. As noted by the Journal Sentinel, Will put out information late last week about an incident in a girls' locker room shower. The school district had to release a carefully worded response acknowledging that some kind of incident that shouldn't have happened did, but that the information being put out there was, quote, ill-informed, inaccurate, and incomplete. Districts, the statement said, must balance the dual goals of supporting transitioning students while also protecting the privacy interests of all students. We know that it is easy to blame schools for events like this when people are outraged, the district statement said. The simple truth is that this incident should not have happened, but it did, and the district addressed it long before the recent publicity. End of statement. But of course, I hasten to add, it's easier to fill in any of the blanks that are out there with speculation and rumor, especially if a single incident can be used to tar an entire group of people with a broad brush. Meanwhile, where Kristen is in Minnesota, legislators have passed a trans refuge bill establishing legal protection for transgender children who come to their state seeking gender-affirming health care. All 34 Democrats supported it. 30 Republicans opposed it. Again, Kristen, it's a tale of two states.
Hey, it is. But as we learned in Hometown Health last week, it's not easy for trans kids, even in great states that make it more comfortable, like Minnesota. Being a trans kid, being part of the LGBTQ community, when you are a kid and you're just trying to figure yourself out, is hard. The last thing they need to be is caught in the middle of our culture war. Could we please take care of our children, like truly care for our children compassionately and with love?
And you can. And look, if there is, whether it's students or adults or what have you, who are disrupting the education and the lives of other students, of course that should be handled. But as we saw up in Kiel, you know, if you decide to insert yourself before, you know, the district itself has taken care of matters and fully addressed the situation, then we really have more of a mob mentality, which never does anybody good for anything, no matter what it is.
No. More community building, more talking to each other, more problem solving, and less of this fear and misinformation. That's what we need more of, Pat. And that's, I love being on the show with you in the morning and just trying to elevate the good parts, because there are so many good parts. Like, we want that. We want to talk to each other. We want to have these conversations. So let's do that.
We should. We'd like to. You know, and again, we sometimes get folks, who will call in and talk to us about it and try to, again, have that productive conversation. And if you want to comment on any of this, you can certainly do so either at the live video feed, where we're on Facebook, at Civic Media, at Up North News, at Bull Falls Radio. And of course, our numbers are 844-967-2789 and 715-388-7155. And our email address, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. I mentioned in the last hour that while I wasn't a Dancing with the Stars fan, I did know who Len Goodman was, the rather colorful older judge who passed away overnight at the age of 78. Were you a viewer or a fan by chance?
Not really. I'm kind of in your boat. I knew who he was. He was kind of fun.
I really had you pictured as more of somebody who's already taken a ballroom dancing class and, you know.
I have.
Okay. And I'm guessing you maybe took your partner and he was very reluctant, and yet you managed to have a good time anyway.
No, he was good. He was fun. He had a great time. I'm just not much of a dancer. I'm more of a singer, as you know.
Yes. Trust me, as we know. There was, and it still might go on here. I know that for a time there was, and I know other local groups as well have done their own version of Dancing with the Stars, you know, usually for charity. Some nonprofit group will start it like that. So you, were you ever approached to, was there something like that in the Green Bay area? I'm sure there was.
Yeah, I haven't been involved in it, but I think you're right. But you know what I remember about Green Bay and Dancing with the Stars? I was living in Madison when Donald Driver won, and they preempted all of the local programming to show him coming back to Green Bay and just being victorious about his victory on Dancing with the Stars. And I thought, man, that's really special.
That is,
you remember that?
That is very cool.
Again,
for me, I'm much more of a either a sitcom person or a news person, and too much of like a Dancing with the Stars type of thing, or your Masked Singer. Not only are they a little, shall we say, on the corny side, but there's also, you know, you're watching people fail. You know, it's just you can root for some people sometimes, but I always cringe a bit, you know, when people are doing that. The only time I don't cringe at people failing is if I'm watching Ridiculousness on MTV, because those are folks who are doing something stupid of their own volition in the moment, and somebody was smart enough to point a camera at them when they were doing it at the time.
Hey, but you're also watching people try. And let's remember that we fail a lot in life. So maybe that's a good lesson for us.
Oh, I don't doubt the popularity of it at all. But again, I look and they go, okay, what next? So we've done singing, we've done dancing. I mean, what's is it rhythmic gymnastics with the stars? Do we watch them running around with ribbons next? You know, do we watch celebrities, you know, racing in NASCAR? Definitely the reality TV trend, you know, kind of passed me by. I'm a fan of good writing, good scripts, you know, and turn it into something like that. But again, for those folks, if it's their ball, if it's their cup of tea, then God bless them. And I'm sure that they have other judges now on Dancing with the Stars. But again, Len Goodman passing away at 78. So good on him for bringing, well, all of us who thought ballroom dancing was dead, we couldn't be more wrong.
True.
All right. Kristen, stick around. Say hi to the Motherhood for Good folks before you head off to start your day. And
I love hanging out with the moms.
We'll talk to Kate and Nicole next. You're up north.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Time to meet up with Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin from Motherhood for Good. Kristen Lyerly hanging around too because, you know, they're buds.
We're all moms.
We're all moms
here.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, Kate and Nicole are going to talk about gun safety. And, you know, Kristen, as a physician, I mean, as well as a mom, you were pointing out during the break that, you know, there's a health component to this, and folks listening on our Madison station just heard a public service announcement about keeping guns locked up because they play such a role in suicides of veterans and kids and others.
This is a healthcare issue. More gun deaths are due to homicide and suicide than the mass shootings that get all the media attention.
Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the mass shootings do. And so we, you know, Kate and Nicole want to bring that up and how you can stay active on that. So, you know, Kate, Nicole, nice to have you here. Tell us a bit more about why you chose that topic for Busy Moms this week.
Yeah, so this is something that's been talked about a lot in our community recently. It's always, unfortunately, kind of an underlying tone of everything we talk about. I initially actually started getting involved in more civic engagement things after Uvalde, because it just broke my heart. And I just thought, I have to do something about this. And that's when I initially started calling my members of Congress about things, and then started Moms for Mandela and then Motherhood for Good. And now it's a lot of what we do. It's always top of mind for all of the moms here. Everybody's concerned about dropping our kids off at school, taking them to the grocery store, taking them to a parade, anything like that. And it can feel very overwhelming, very heartbreaking, very anxiety inducing a lot of the time. So what we try to do is kind of work with other groups and go off of what they're saying and try to provide easy action items that our community members can take to address this issue and to talk to our legislators and try and help them know where we're coming from and advocate for common sense gun reform.
And yet before you can even advocate for these things, Nicole, I mean, it would be tough enough if all moms had to worry about were, you know, the potential for shootings, but then to compound that, to watch the inaction by politicians or worse, to hear their rhetoric, which in my mind actually puts the lives of killers above the lives of our kids. I can't even imagine what that puts, you know, the mothers and the parents of school aged children through these days.
Completely agree. And I think it kind of gets back to what Kate was saying too, of just the common sense approach to it. Like if you ask, by and large, the majority of us agree that you shouldn't have unfettered access to guns. And the mass shootings are awful, as Kristen said as well. It's the homicides, it's the suicides. Having a gun around just will preemptively make that more likely to happen. This isn't to say you shouldn't own any guns, but that there's just even the bare minimum, the common sense, you know, background checks, things like that, that would start to build up at least some sort of a case for, hey, let's approach this more from a public safety kind of way of looking.
I have a quick stat that was a good intro that I would just like to say to address that. So according to the Pew Research Center, majorities in both partisan coalitions favor two policies in particular that would restrict gun access. One is preventing those with mental illnesses from purchasing guns, which is 85% of Republicans, 90% of Democrats. and subjecting private gun sales and gun show sales to background checks. 70% of Republicans and 92% of Democrats. Wisconsin does not have background checks on unlicensed gun sales or an extreme risk law. Those are two things that are overwhelmingly supported by everybody, yet our state legislature refuses to take them in. They gavel in, they gavel out, and it's just kind of a slap in the face to voters of Wisconsin.
It's basic. It's just basic, folks. Yeah.
it's life-saving.
All right. So the point to make here is that this is not an unsolvable problem. There are things that have worked, and they do not involve confiscating guns and hunting rifles from law-abiding citizens. There was the 1994 assault weapons ban. It worked. As soon as it was lifted 10 years later, the amount of mass shootings and deaths went through the roof. And for every, this is my little political note here, every time we hear about, well, there's such high crime in blue-run cities, you know, that have strict gun laws. Yeah, but the guns are coming from red states that have lax gun safety rules, which is, so it's not the problem with the gun safeguards in the blue cities. It's the lack of action in red states. It's the lack of action by lawmakers. And so there are basic things that can be put into place that have, like we mentioned, overwhelming and bipartisan support. And that takes us to some of the specific things that we can do. Kate, do you want to start us off on a federal standpoint about, you know, what senators and members of Congress can be told about the Gun Violence Prevention Act?
Yeah, so we kind of have to attack this at all different angles, right? We're always talking about state level legislation, but also federal. And just like you talked about, Pat, like state laws aren't going to do as much if somebody can just go to a different state and get a gun. In a way that would have prevented them in their home state and still get access and be violent with it. So on a federal level right now, the action we're pushing is to call your senators and U.S. representative and request they co-sponsor the Office of Gun Violence Prevention Act. So this would create a dedicated office at the Department of Justice, which would help make sure state, local, and federal agencies are working together to enforce gun safety laws, educate the public, and fund gun violence prevention programs that work. This is going to give them the data and the resources to look at everything as a whole and together from findings that they're receiving, actually put out like evidence-based solutions that should work. This should be a no-brainer, again, bipartisan solution. So we have actions on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Motherhood for Good. We tell you exactly who you need to call, how you can find their numbers, and even give you a script. This has been something we've been pushing pretty hard, and we're working with actually advocates that do work similarly as we do in a lot of other states that are pushing the same thing. And we've seen new especially representatives come on and co-sponsor every day, and we still don't have any from Wisconsin. So we're still continuing to do that every single day, make it a habit, and call those people. It takes 5 minutes to make your three calls.
So that's the federal level, the Office of Gun Violence Prevention Act to create that office. Nicole, at the state level, one thing that folks can do is also take action. But in this case, it's to urge against taking action on what I continue to call the single dumbest bill to be introduced in this legislative session.
You are spot on. It's a great lead-in. So yes, the more recent legislation that you just spoke of, LRB 0471, which would basically be a workaround that currently does not allow firearms on school grounds. It's kind of a loophole for that, with the idea being, I guess, that like arming teachers is going to fix the problem, which we don't have enough time to go there right now.
Can I go around the room here? Anybody thinking arming teachers will solve this? Anybody? No, I don't see any hands up. Nicole, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. So the idea being that you're going to call your state reps. And again, exactly like Kate said, on our website and our Instagram page, we have tools to be able to look up who your reps are. But you're going to call them and we have a script as well. Encourage them to not support that. And also give your reason why. These people work for you. We elect them. You don't have to be scared or embarrassed about this. It's literally their job is to represent the people of their district. So use your voice. Is it a little uncomfortable the first time? Yeah. You get over it real quick. They half the time don't answer the phone, but if they do, I've had some really great conversations with staff when I've called my local reps. It matters. And you don't just call once, you call every day.
Yeah, the staff, I will definitely, again, vouch for that. And it wasn't just my own staff, but most staff in legislative offices, again, not all, but it's like anybody. But so often, these are folks who, you know, got into public service for the right reasons, even if you don't necessarily agree with them on things. They are cordial. They simply take your information. And by the way, again, I can vouch personally, it matters. It doesn't necessarily mean it'll change a vote in the moment. But if they see this groundswell of support for or against something, it does have an impact on them. So, you know, absolutely, it's worth your while to put comments in. And Kate, should we take that state level of commenting over to the state budget as well with the Joint Finance Committee, considering what Governor Evers is proposing?
Yeah, so this is a new action we're going to be posting. I meant to post it right before this, but I didn't get a chance. So it will be live right after this.
Hashtag busy mom.
Right. We are encouraging folks right now to submit public testimony on the 2023-25 Wisconsin budget that Tony Evers has put forth. So right now, where it is in the process is the Joint Finance Committee is collecting testimony from the public to hear what their thoughts are on some of the proposals that Governor Evers had in there. And he did have priorities for gun reform in the final budget so that we can properly fund measures to protect our communities. He also has, it's worth noting, that he has a significant investment in there for mental health, especially addressing mental health in schools and building out the infrastructure for educational systems to build that out. And that's often, you know, an adjacent talking point to addressing gun violence as well, especially by Republicans. So we did want to note that. So we'll be posting, again, a lot of information there and background information. It's quite a hefty bill. So we tried to break it down into and pull out a lot of the policies that we think are really pertinent to parents and our community in particular. And all you have to do is go on to the website that the Joint Finance Committee has set up, put in your name and stuff, and then kind of type out the priorities and what's important to you and what you recommend they really take a hard look at in the budget, and then just submit it. So that should be an easy action for our community to take as well. And that's for this week. We're hoping to get all submissions in by the end of the week.
And Kristen, from the mental health perspective of everything that Governor Evers is proposing, I'm guessing pretty much any doc can tell you how important it is to get more mental health care resources out to folks, not just, you know, because it's a good thing to do, but can in fact reduce the incidence of gun violence in our communities.
Governor Evers said it when he gave his budget address. This is the year of mental health. We know that mental health is a crisis in kids. It's a crisis in adults. We don't have enough services. We don't have enough funding. And the relationship between mental health issues and gun violence, as we talked about earlier, it's there. I mean, suicide is, if not the most, I believe it is the number one reason when people die from gun violence. I think it's associated with suicide.
And it's currently gun violence is the number one killer of our children in place on earth.
The fact that it is the number one killer of our children in this country, and we are not stopping everything to say, how do we address this right now, is beyond many of us.
Yeah. Nicole, Moms Demand Action is a group that was formed to try to tackle gun violence. They're still looking for folks as well.
Yeah, that's a fantastic call out. So I'm up in the Northeast Wisconsin area. I know the further north you get, the harder it is to feel like you're going to make progress talking about this. What I'll say is getting connected with that group, they are looking for chapter leaders across the state. Also just finding like-minded people and realizing you're not alone. Because there are so many of us who feel this way. The idea of getting connected is huge. So I would encourage everybody to look up Moms Demand Action and for their area, see if there's someone else you can connect with. And if not, maybe that's you. I think it's gonna take all of us. What I'll say too is just kind of this overall thing we've been talking about. It gets so easy to throw your hands up and say, there's nothing I can do. Like, oh, this thing is too far gone. That's unacceptable. We all know that. None of us want to have to wake up and hear about another tragedy or have it happen personally to you or someone you know. The bare minimum we can do is make these phone calls, submit our entry into the Joint Finance Committee's budget report. All of these things collectively, there's some small part you can do. You know, hey, we're just going to keep trying. These aren't things that take, your whole day up. These are small bits that you can do every day to help make a difference.
And you can have these conversations even up in Northeast Wisconsin, where you think these conversations aren't going to fly. You can find common ground. It is there, even in the least likely of places. You just have to give it space and invite people into that conversation in order to make it happen.
And I would add that we are seeing a refreshingly increasing number of veterans who are choosing to run for office. And what they are saying when they run for office is, I'm trained on these weapons. They're to be used on a battlefield. I respect gun ownership. We don't need this stuff on our streets or in our schools. And thankfully, more of them are speaking out as well. So Nicole Slavin, Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good, Kristen Lyerly, thank you all for giving us a busy mom's perspective, not to throw up your hands. Instead, take those hands and put them on a keyboard or a telephone real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, all of you.
Thank you, moms.
Have a wonderful day. Kristen, take care out there. Safe travels.
Will do.
All right. When we come back, Terry Bell with Three Things You Should Know, our Civic Media Radio News Director, coming up in just a bit before we wrap things up for a Monday morning here on Up North News Radio. Aaron, I think it was saying it was Mark from the SAC called in to say that all of our talk about Dancing in the Stars, Dancing with the Stars, reminded him of this Paul McCartney tune. And then there was Come Dancing by the Kinks, another one that reminded me, Terry Bell, of a different era that Dancing with the Stars brought back to TV.
Oh, absolutely. What else? Dancing in the Streets. What was it? Mick Jagger and David Bowie cover that?
Yes, they did it. They did a rather corny video in the 80s with that remake.
Did you see it? Oh, this went viral a couple years ago. That version of them, the video of that video without any music, it was just like dubbed in voices sounding very amateurish. Otherwise, everything was silent.
I love those videos. It's a music video and they edit in so you just hear what you see. So it'll be like squeaking shoes. And
yes.
Stuff.
So funny, but right after Up North News,
I'm going down today.
Right after Up North News, everybody go to YouTube and find that Mick Jagger and David Bowie video. It's hilarious.
That's what we're doing right before Todd Alba or Stephanie Miller or Earl Ingram begin their shows coming up in a few minutes here. Sports real quick. The Bucks are in Miami tonight. The Heat lead the series 2-1, which means that all the Bucks got to do is win the next three. And it's Bucks in six, baby.
Well, yeah, Bucks, I mean, you can't win in six if you don't lose a couple. So
everything
is just going according to plan.
That's right. And the Brewers lost to Boston 12-5, so they dropped 2 of 3 games to the Red Sox. The Tigers begin a 3-game series in Milwaukee tonight. Terry was at the game Friday night along with me and Aaron and Todd and Luke Mathers, and a good time was had by all.
Sure was. Oh, my gosh.
We've mentioned it before, only because we really want you to win these tickets in the future when we offer them up. These are not your run-of-the-mill seats. These are some great row two seats, club level to the left of home plate.
If you have never sat in the club level, you are in for a treat. It is a lot of amenities up there in the club level.
You definitely feel spoiled up there, and you should get to watch at least one Brewer game that way. So when we offer those tickets up, later and throughout the week, hope that you take advantage of that. All right, as news director for Civic Media, Terry always brings us three things to know to start the week. And where would you like to kick us off?
Well, we very well may hear from President Biden this week, letting us know that he plans to run for re-election. That's not a given, but a lot of speculation seems to point to this week. There's been a lot of discussion both inside the White House and among the people who think and talk about these things all over Washington, whether now is the time to do that or not. I think it's a very interesting discussion to have, but I guess the takeaway is that if he announces now, it will be a matter of fundraising, that every month not on the campaign trail, not officially being a candidate, is a month of potentially lost fundraising. So that may very well be the reason that he declares now. I mean, a year and a half, I mean, why would an incumbent president who certainly does not face a primary need to start their campaign so early? But that may be the reason why.
I'd say what they're really looking to fend off is speculation, because the longer that he goes on, being, you know, age 80, you will see nothing but the press hounding everybody else, saying, you know, will Kamala Harris run? You know, will Bernie Sanders announce? And, you know, other Democrats are getting nervous. And so getting the declaration out there this early, which I wish it wasn't the case. I wish these campaigns didn't last so long. But man, nature abhors a news vacuum, and there are more than a couple of media outlets that will be happy to speculate if the longer Biden were to put off that announcement. So I see why they got to do it. I wish it wasn't this early. What's the second thing we're watching this week?
Well, it seems there's some movement in Foxconn world. What we have now is Microsoft, the big technology company, has agreed to buy $50 million worth of land in that Mount Pleasant facility. That campus, you should say. Microsoft will buy that $50 million. It was originally meant for Foxconn, but what Microsoft plans to do is build a billion-dollar data center there. We don't know exactly how many people will work there, but I'm told that similar facilities employ about 300 to 400 people. So certainly not the numbers that we were talking about when Foxconn was first arrived on the scene and was making a lot of promises, but better to have 300 to 400 people working there than to have nothing happening on a bunch of land where people had their homes displaced. So
without a doubt. So yeah. You know, again, it's not that anybody wanted everything there to fail. It's that most people knew from the get-go that the lofty promises being made were lofty to the point of they frankly didn't have any oxygen. You know,
plays have been written about, you know, Foxconn's track record. It's not like nobody could have seen this coming.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Third item for us this week?
Well, it seems as though Republicans in the Wisconsin Assembly are at least giving lip service to what seems to be a growing wave of medical marijuana around the upper Midwest. What we have right now is Wisconsin is a bit of an island. Three of the four states that surround us, Michigan, Illinois, and Minnesota, all have varying levels of legalized marijuana, all of it medical, some of it recreational. And there have been noises like this made in the past. The most resistance to legalized marijuana in Wisconsin is coming from Wisconsin Assembly Republicans. Last week, Robin Voss said that a committee of lawmakers is getting together to figure out a medical marijuana bill, not a recreational marijuana bill. But he won't name who is on this committee, and it remains to be seen what will actually happen. There's been some talk of perhaps a medical marijuana bill later this session, probably later this year, if it happens at all. It's really not clear whether this is actually progress on that issue or whether it's just something to tap down criticism.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, much like the rape and incest exceptions to the abortion ban, is this real? Is it just speculation? Is it, in fact, a head fake so that folks think that there's going to be some action taken when you know, nothing is done? And while it sounds rather inside baseball, I think a good reason to bring this up is that it does help other people keep their legislators honest to say, hey, I heard this might be happening. Are you going to get this done or not? So anything that empowers constituents when they're talking to their legislators is a good thing.
And, you know, it's an acknowledgement, I'm thinking, even if this is just a head fake, as you say, it is an acknowledgement that this is a increasingly popular idea. And it's also an acknowledgement that people, frankly, are taking their money and tax revenue for states to other states when they're crossing borders to buy these products that are legal there.
Exactly. All right. Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director. Thank you. Have a great week.
Thank you, Pat. You too.
All right. Good to have you here as well. You can follow me all day long on Facebook. Just go to Pat Kreitlow Up North. And then coming up tomorrow, we have Chippewa Falls author John Kinville, Representative Robin Vining, Representative Alec Jors, Senator Tammy Baldwin, all still to come this week on Up North News Radio. You can find what we're doing at upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great day.